the subject, as you see in the monitor here, I can be happy in a world of sorrow. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now we see here in English translation, it used the word peace. But in several translations, including the Thai translation, it used happiness. Jesus makes it so clear and vivid here that he will go to give us happiness and peace. But his happiness and peace is not like the world. It will be entirely different. And tonight we want to see how Jesus is talking about the happiness in his viewpoint. Do you think it is possible for the children of God to be happy in a world of sorrow? I don't mean that we have to always put a smiling face all the time. I would like to say that in every situation, whether you have the money or you don't have, you're rich or poor, or you're sick, whatever circumstances, we can be happy. And we have many, many reasons for us to be happy. Because we have God the Creator. Because we have Jesus our Savior, the Redeemer. Because we have the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. Because we have brother and sister in Christ all over the world. You go anywhere, you have brother and sister in Christ, and they will pray for you, encourage you. I understand that. My guess is that you're praying for me, and at the same time, I'm praying for you. Every day when I pray, in my personal prayer, I even mention the elders here. Every day. So we have that, the bond, the tie as we as a Christian, brother and sister in Christ. So we have many other reasons we should be happy. The religion of God is not a long, gloomy looking face. In my preaching career for 40 years, I tried to get my brethren to be happy. And as we should be happy all the time. In my country, we have other religion. We have Buddhist religion. They wear a yellow robe, they shave their head, and they walk, stoop their head and look at, they're not happy in the world. I don't like that kind of religion. My religion is happiness. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. John 9, verse 6, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. God provide us the way, the goal, the map, direction, guidance for us to live. We can be happy. Now, please understand that happiness is not satisfaction. Many people have a lot of things and they will satisfy. But satisfaction is not happiness. Most people that seek self-satisfaction are among the world's most unhappy people in the world. So please do not misunderstand. Happiness is not satisfaction. We may earn a lot of things that we can satisfy when we get it, but that is not happiness. Another thing, happiness does not come in by possessing things. In my country, we have big, great opposition. Number one, the Buddhist religion. 95% believe in the Buddhist religion. And it's very difficult to convert the Buddhist people. That's hard enough. And you know what we have? Creeping to the church? Materialism. That is a big enemy. People and work to get the possession. They think that the happiness is obtain the possession things. But happiness does not come in by possessing things. For the most part, those who possess the most of the earth's treasure have the least happiness, Jesus said. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the thing which he possesses. Luke 12, verse 15. Another thing, happiness does not come in by being served. Jesus said, the Son of Man come not to be served, but to serve. And Jesus wants for us to be happy. And he tells us that in order to be happy, it's not because you want other people to serve you. Happiness comes by serving other people. In John chapter 13, verse 13, Jesus stooped down and watching the disciples' feet, one by one. In verse 13, he said, you call me Master and Lord? You're right. I am your Master and Lord. If I am your Master and Lord, and I watching your feet, therefore, you should watch one another's feet. This is not talking about a watching feet ceremony in the church building, but he's talking about humility. He's talking about serving other people. And you read on down to verse 17, he said, you know this, and you do them, do what? He does not talk about watching feet in the church. He's talking about serving other people. If you serve other people, you will be happy. Again in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, he said, whosoever want to come and follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And first, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life will, for my sake, shall find it. Now the word save here, whosoever will save his life will lose it. If whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He's not talking about take physical life. He's talking about using our life for other people. And then we'll be happy. Another thing, happiness does not come in by being honored. People want power. They want people to be recognized, want to be popularity. That's the reason why we have so many problems, you know, in the political, even in Thailand. Jesus said it was more blessings to give than to receive. This applies to the matter of honor also. Somebody said like this, happiness never was really any good in this world but to give it away. It can be truthfully said that the more you give away, the more you have left for yourself. In honoring to others, you will find that honor and happiness will be returned to you. In the first place, the true happiness must be made up of a number of things. It does not depend on the possession that we have. It does not depend on the recognition that we have in the society, but it depends entirely on our attitude. We should have the positive outlook toward the people and toward things and circumstances. We will be disappointed if our happiness depends on things outside, the possession and other people, and we'll be miserable. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, Jesus says this, blesses, the word blesses mean happiness. It's come from the Greek word Makarios. It's been happy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are that mourn, for there shall be comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. If you notice that, all of these will enhance people to be happy, but nothing whatsoever talking about the material thing. But it depends on our attitude, what we call the beatitude. That will help us to be happy. Secondly, now let's look onto some of the components of the happiness. Number one, a good conscience is essential to happiness. If you recall, Joseph's brother trying to kill him. First time they throw him in a pit. And he was begging and crying, please don't kill me. And then finally they sold him to be a slave in the land of Egypt for 17 years. Back there in the land of Canaan, those brethren of Joseph, they become so successful in their business, but they were not happy because they would still remember they have deceived the father Jacob. For 15 years, Jacob believed in his heart that his lovely, beloved son died already. But those brethren know exactly, their conscience bothered them. Until then, when they stand in front of Joseph in the land of Egypt to buy grains. And you know what they say? In the book of Genesis, chapter 42, verse 21 and 22, and they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And you will not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. Their conscience still bothers them. In order for us to be happy, it is essential for us to have a clean conscience. No one can be happy when he violates his conscience. That is, when his conscience accuses them. Secondly, optimism is very necessary for happiness. It has to come with our attitude to look at things, to look at people, to look at circumstance. We need to be able to look at even the negative, turn to be the bad crisis into opportunity. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 20, is Paul said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Oh yes, when you're lying down on the bed, sick in a hospital, when you're being laid off, when you have the family problems, marriage problems, and many other problems, it's very difficult for us to be happy. But Paul said, We know that all things working together for good to them that love the Lord. Look at the positive way. You know the flies are always hunting and looking for the dead dog, a dead animal. Instead they have flowers and trees and good fresh air, but they don't look. Sometimes people, you know, looking for something bad to happen in their life. But there we have so many things that should help us to be happy. Optimism is necessary for our happiness. Optimism is defined as an inclination to put most favorable constructions upon actions and happenings, or to anticipate the best possible outcome. Paul and Silas were put into prison of Philippi, Acts 16, verse 25. At midnight, what they do? They sing a song, praising God. They pray to God. Have you ever been put into the prison? I will never was in the prison, but I was nearly in the prison. I went to Laos country to preach the gospel, and they let me go out. I did not have my passport. I had my only identification card. And when I come back, they won't let me get in. They thought that I am a Laos people. And they want to get the money. I said, no, I'm a Thai. And they put me in the prison. But the police very kind enough, you know, they let me stay outside. Parker and Henderson had to go back to Bangkok to get my passport to show to them that I'm a real Thai person. Anyhow, I was not happy. I feel bad because my wife pregnant in Bangkok and she didn't know it. But these in the prison, they sing a song, they're praising God. This is optimism. Again, when we read the book of Acts 1-4, the disciples were persecuted and they all scattered everywhere, hiding. No, they scattered everywhere, preach the gospel. And again, we read in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, Paul mentioned that because he was put in a prison, he had the opportunity to teach those Roman guards. And many of those Roman guards became a Christian, became a God believer. And those brethren outside of the prison, they were encouraged because Paul did never give up, even teach the people in the prison. That is optimistic. Go bury thy sorrow. The world had its share. Go bury it deeply. Go hide it with care. Go bury thy sorrow. Let others be blessed. Go give them the sunshine and tell God the rest. Optimism. Talk happiness. The world is sad enough. Without your woes, no path is wholly rough. Look for the places that are smooth and clear and speak of those to raise the very ear of earth. So heard by one continuous strain of human discontent and grief and pain. Talk faith. The world is better off without your utter ignorance or morbid doubt. If you have faith in God, a man, or self, say so. If not, push back upon the chair. Of silence all your thoughts, till faith shall come. No one will grieve because your lips are dumb. Talk health. The dreary never change tale. Of mortal melodies is worn and stale. You cannot charm or interest or please by harping on the minor chord disease. Say you are well, or all is well with you, and God shall hear your words and make them true. We need to be optimistic. Number three, forgetting the past is very essential to happiness. This is a big enemy of happiness. We want to carry the burden yesterday, 5 years, 20 years, remember them? The thing that we get hurt, the thing that people talk about us, gossip to us, the thing that happened to us, we just remember them. We just cannot forget. For one to be happy, we need to be able to forget. Leave it behind. The thing that will not happen tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, or 20 years from now, it will not come. So don't worry about it. Try the best you can today. Live one day at a time. Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 3, 13 to 14, excuse me, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." What? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." This is what we need to do. Number four, trusting God's providence is essential to happiness. Psalm said, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed baking bread." Number five, fulfilling responsibility is essential to happiness. This is one of the key of happiness. Serving others, use our talent and ability. Some of you may have 5 talents, some of you may have 2 talents. Not one of us have only 1 talent. I don't believe so. Jesus is not talking about we have 1 talent. He talks about those people who have talent but never use them, and some of them act like 1 talent man. And he is very unhappy person, and Jesus called this man a wicked person. And he will never be happy. The most happy person in the church, you know what? The one who serves other people. When I go from place to place, church to church, I see some deacons, elders, church members, they're very busy doing that, doing this for the church, and they're very happy. And we need a lot of people like that. And they will be happy about it. Fulfilling responsibility is very essential to our happiness. Six, having something to believe in, something to stand up for, made for happiness. The apostle and the early disciples were hated and they were persecuted, but they were very happy because the cause they upheld was so important. The child of God is richly blessed. He should be the happiest person in the world. Now, even the prison walls could not take away the happiness within the hearts of God's children in the day of the apostle. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, when the Sanhedrin beat John and James, and you know what they said in verse 41? "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer chains for his name." Some of unhappiness people in the world are those who have nothing to live for and nothing to die for. Someone put it this way: life is tragic to him who has plenty to live on and nothing to live for. I live for those who love me, for those who know me true, for the heaven that smiles above me and awaits my spirit too, for the cause that lacks assistance, for the wrong that needs resistance, for the future in the distance, and the good that I can do. Lord, I don't know what to do. But I want to do something. Help me to find something to do. And that will help you, that will make you and I happy. Number seven, following the right kind of advice. Parents, children, lawyer, doctor, preacher, teacher, and all others. However, those who will advise us, they need to be qualified. That they advise us the right thing. That's important. Following the wrong advice may not cost you dollars or cents, but it may cost you soul. So we need to be very, very careful to listen to advice. Number eight, keeping busy at something worthwhile promotes happiness. It is not enough to make ourselves busy. We need to get busy something worthwhile. That's very important. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Proverbs 18:9, he also that is slothful in his work is better to him that is a great waster. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, Solomon said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with might. And number six, learning when to slow down and rest make for happiness. Workaholic. Work and work and work and work. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That work we should give to the Lord. And some people don't come to church. They go to work. They get a double pay. Works and work. It is important to work, but don't be workaholic. Jesus, seeing the fatigue of his disciple on one occasion, he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Mark 6:31. Slow me down, Lord. Slow me down, Lord. Slow me down. Ease the pounding of my heart by the quieting of my mind. Steady my hurried path with a vision of the eternal reach of time. Give me amid the confusions of this day the calmness of everlasting hills. Break the tensions of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing stream that live in my memory. Help me to know the magical restoring power of sleep. Teach me the art to taking minute vacations, of slowing down to look at a flower, to pet a dog, to read a few lines from a good book, especially the Bible. Remind me instead of the fable of the hare and the Tolstoy, that may know that the world is not always to the sweet. That there is more to life than increasing its speed. Let me look upward into the branches of towering oak and know that it grew great and strong slowly and well. Slow me down, Lord, and inspire me to send my roots deep down into the soil of life's enduring value that I may grow toward the start of my great destiny. My happiness, last of all. To know the joy of serving others. Whether stranger, friends or brother, to look at all without suspicion. To look at sin with full remissions. To see the good in every man. And make him better if I can. To feel the joys of glowing love and hear its echoes from above. To drink in the beauties of God's green earth. To look at man and know his worth. To slow the ride of life's brisk path. to catch a smile on a sweet child's face, to view each man with unjudiced eye, to reach him well when he must die, to count as naught the injuries given by those who have no hope of heaven, to know the touch of an unseen hand, to bow myself to his command, to be prepared when life's sun set, to face my Maker without regrets, to envision with rapture the eternal skies, and run with patience to win the prize, to live a life of righteousness. This, to me, is happiness. In conclusion, perhaps all the remarks that we have about happiness could be summed up in three essentials. Number one, something to do. Something or someone to love. And number three, something to hope for. Eliminate any one of these, and happiness is not complete. Please check on yourself. Examine yourself by answering this question. Do I try to think more of others and less about myself? Do I put too much emphasis upon insignificant things? Do I think too much about things and not enough about people? Do I pray to God when I have problems? Do I thank God often for the good and the pleasant and the beautiful? Do I really determine to be happy? Do I enjoy doing things for others? Do I live an abundant life? Do I take offense easily? Do I have an abiding faith in God that all will be well with me? Tonight there may be someone who does not believe in God and not become a Christian yet. I urge you to become one. If you believe there is a God, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of your sin and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized, and God will wash away your sin. If you don't already become a Christian and you want a prayer of the congregation, the elder will pray for you. Please come while we stand and sing.